This is Chris Hughes with the Christian Perspective Podcast with Chris Hughes, where we encourage our listeners to engage the culture with Jesus Christ. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds, so enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Previously on Lantern Rescue.
Last week, they received a tip about a girl that was kidnapped and the suspected trafficker. So they were able to locate her and locate the trafficker. They arrested him last Tuesday, and by Thursday, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and he has more charges pending, but he's already been sentenced for the lead charge on that. So that was really very swift justice.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue. We got a real treat for you today. The team is overseas, and we want to introduce some new partners to you, right, Mark?
Robbie, we're excited to speak with you today and share with our listeners a little bit different show for sure. I think every show is probably different than what folks are listening to, but Lord knows that He brings people in our path that we feel like need to be heard and want to share about their work and their ministry and how it collaborates with us. And so we are in the West African region, and Robbie, I've got TC with me. I've got John, who's been on a show before with us in the past. And then we have Sarah with us. And Sarah's really going to be kind of the focus of our show today, Robbie. She is West African by nationality, and she's an African by heart. And she really has a brilliant education. But she has a workforce of more than 100 working women across her three companies between the UK and Africa. She's got more than 100 women who she has trained, and particularly through one business that she's going to tell us about. And a lot of those women were women who have survived trafficking, have survived abuse, have survived the hardships that we encounter when we work in counter-trafficking. Her companies are fair trade with a supply of raw materials from women's cooperatives across Africa. She participates in several motivational workshops for youth. She even continues to, right now, I think even it says she has 30 students who are supported in terms of her their school fees. She's doing a lot of work for those. And so as we came here and in our meetings of meeting government and other people, we got to meet Sarah. And really today, Sarah, I'm so excited that you're on the show. And Robbie is meeting you remotely here.
Thank you.
And you're going to tell us about you. You are a young entrepreneur who left corporate. And tell us your heart. Why do you have such a drive to help those who need help, and especially empower women in your country?
Oh, I think that it's kind of life mission, because I have always wanted to do something, do something for people around me, especially women and children in Africa, because the population, there are more women, more children than, I mean, men and older people. And those people are very sensitive, or they are very exposed to a lot of stuff.
Right.
Abuse, illegal traffic, criminality, poverty, and lack of hospital care, lack of healthcare. So I was not able to think that I can work and live in Africa without doing something for people around me, because I felt like kind of privileged to have access to that level of education. So I thought I should give back by my work and by my entrepreneurial journey.
You are a complete
different than most women in West Africa.
You've
overcome a lot of things in your own life to be this entrepreneur who's able to assist even other women.
Yes.
And I know that's, you're swimming a different direction.
Yeah.
In your life at one point, you were even poisoned for a job.
Twice, for
your work and effort to do something right.
Exactly.
And when you talk about the girls that you help now, and you kind of laid out some of those factors that influence the women and girls here in your country and the countries around us, give us an example, even of somebody like right now that's in your training, in your hands, that you know you're taking from point A to Z.
Yeah. For example, actually, I'm training a lady. She came from Central Africa. So she has escaped war, and she went here when we are actually in West Africa. She came here with her father, and they were very, very poor because it was not their country, their culture, everything was different. And with time, her father, he gets sick, so she was the only one in charge of everything without without a lot of degree of education. She has stopped at high school because of the war. So we have met through a relative of her, and she has asked to be trained to learn something to do, because she was not feeling good about herself, like just be at home and doing nothing, or be exposed to some, because some people have approached her in the past and proposed her prostitution,
right?
Because she's kind of beautiful, I mean attractive based on the standard of a specific people. So she wanted to escape that. She didn't want to be at the point that she will feel obliged to enter in that world to feed her father.
Right.
And so we have met through her mentor, and I have interviewed her because I needed to know if she was very interested or if it was just a woman who was looking for a hobby. So we have talked, and she told me about her story, and we have started to work like 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy because she's very proactive, and she's always there to work. She's very determined, she has passion, and she really wants to change her life and do something by herself.
And you've done that for over 100 women, and particularly...
Yes.
So everybody's listening, and TC, John, jump in anytime. What you do, so our listeners know, is you give them a business skill.
Exactly.
One of your businesses right now, you've got everything from the only coffee shop in West Africa that we ever found. And then you have a sewing shop, a fashion shop to teach them to sew.
Yes.
And that's critical in West Africa.
Sew and to embellish.
Right.
And then, very different from what people do around here. They don't do embellishment. It's like it's kind of a luxury field of couture. So they don't do that because it requires a lot of patience, passion, and very expensive tools.
Right. So you not only you train them for like 6 months, you give them the tools to do that, or if they also want to make jewelry,
your
jewelry is fantastic.
These
girls do an amazing job.
Yes.
I've got to meet some of them doing that, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
How about you, TC? You've listed them at Sarah too, and you were blown away by her, you know, in this whole operation that we came to see and participate in. And tell me about your thoughts.
As I have listened to her story, and Sarah, I want you to comment on this. There are a lot of times in people's lives where they have good ideas.
Yes.
They have good ideas and they go on, but when resistance comes, when it's hard, it's like, maybe I'll do something else.
Yes.
You have been poisoned twice, the business that you're in, maybe people think, oh, Sarah's making a lot of money, and so she's just an entrepreneur. But actually, this is very hard for you.
Yes. Like,
this is not
every
a
day.
Simple.
Every day.
So where did that conviction, where did that drive that you have to do these things, regardless of the, you know, resistance you get, where did that conviction come from? How did you get that?
I would say that this conviction comes from my faith, because I'm very driven by my faith. I'm like, okay, I've been a lot in my life since I was born, and God has always been my focus, my main focus, and He has never failed me. So even if we went through a lot of difficulties, some storms, but every time there was a storm, after that there was a big achievement. That's how I see my whole life. So what I have learned is to be patient and to say, okay, this will be an obstacle on my road. This is a problem, this is that. But I have to endure that. I have to stay focused, because I know that after that, there will be a big achievement. The more you have resistance, the more you resist, the bigger the achievement after that is. That's how I see life. So in every aspect of my life, that's how I see life. So that is what drives me.
I like it. Hey, that's awesome.
It really shows. Great question, TC. John, how about you?
Sarah, would you be willing to tell us a little bit more about why you chose this type of business and how you set it up versus, say, giving somebody a job skill to go find a job somewhere out of the market?
Okay. I have chosen entrepreneurship first because I really like to be my own boss and do things like I want to do them, because people, we don't think the same. I have seen that when I was working, because I have worked for 7 years in corporate business and in three countries in Africa, in West Africa. So what I have seen was the kind of mix of capitalism and people abuse in a kind of way, and I didn't like that. I had the chance to be at high positions in top management in some companies when I was very young, and what I have seen was not like the way I wanted to manage. It was very different from what I wanted. So, and doing jewels was my hobby, my first hobby. Design clothes, design of clothes was my second hobby. So I decided to launch my own company in that field because I knew this field. So that's how I have started. And it was also the best way for me to hire women and to teach them what I knew, and to learn from them too. Because I think that when you know the person's story, you manage that person differently. Your workforce is not just a bunch of people executing what you say. No, those are individuals, and you learn to manage like every person with all of these aspects, and you learn from them, and you learn on YouTube. And the second company is in cosmetics. I have started this one because I saw a need somewhere, a need for some women who were doing organic raw materials. They needed to sell to someone who would be able to make it usable by some other people who were abroad, like in Europe, and who needed an activity, something to do. And so it was like, I decided to leave a connection between those two.
We'll be right back on Lantern Rescue. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operations, law enforcement, and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. Welcome back to Lantern Rescue, and what a treat we have today. The team is overseas, and we're getting introduced to some of their new partners in West Africa.
Sir, just kind of pick up where you left off there. A couple of things you were about to share about the opportunities you've made available for a friend of yours. Mm-hmm. And maybe just kind of tell us about that.
Yeah. So it was like in 2019. So I have met a lady. She came to my fashion shop, and she was asking for some very street clothes. And when you see her, she was not like, she was not feeling good, so I asked her to tell me what was wrong, because she was bizarre, and she had started to talk about her personal life, and she has explained that she was in a forced marriage since 10 years, and she wanted to leave that because she was not feeling good about the fact that she hasn't achieved anything in her life, and professionally, privately, there were no alchemy because it was a forced marriage, and she has come in my country to, it was like a holiday to like ease her mind and come back very strong and do what she has to do to escape that marriage. So we have talked a lot, and the problem was that she didn't have a job, she didn't have any activity. All of her life was around that union, who was an abusive and forced marriage. And when she left back to her country, so we stayed in touch. And finally, she found the courage to face her family first, and told them that she wanted to leave that marriage. And it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been like, it was dirty. It was very dirty. She has lost, actually, the half of her family. Is not talking to her anymore. She has left the house with her kid, and now she's rebuilding her life. Or I would say she's building a new life as an independent woman, as a grown woman, and everything. And so she was looking for an activity. She was looking for something to do, and so she asked me, what can I do? And at the same time, I have discovered some stuff that was going on in my country, specifically in the north of my country. Mm-hmm. Where you have a lot of women who are the breadwinners of the family. Mm. And their activity is around shea butter extraction and shea butter oil production, but very organic way. I mean, traditional way. And the problem is that they sell this rich, I would say, rich material, because shea butter is something which is very rich. Is organic and it has a lot of virtues and everything. So they sell that to people who are very corrupted. The people who used to buy from them, they didn't buy at the fair price.
Oh, okay.
Because they know that those women, they are in need. Mm. Any money that they will find, they will take it to feed their families.
Right.
Because they are very the breadwinners of the families. So when I have seen that and knowing that where my other friend was located, I mean in Europe, the market where she was very attracted by this kind of organic stuff that those women are doing in the north of my country. So I decided to be the connection between them. And I know that there were a big issue about shea butter. It was the smell, the original smell of raw materials. So I found a way to change that.
TC is well aware of that, John. I mean, yeah, they use that stuff.
Really?
And okay. I think Alan's on the show, but I'm pretty sure Alan uses it.
I brought one for each of you, so you will like them. So I found a way to be the connection between those very different people, but with the same need of being independent and autonomous. So I decided to launch this company. So we buy at the fair price the raw shea butter from those women. And because we buy at the fair price, they were very open to do more, to how can I say it in English? When a process is raw and it become better, how do you call it?
Purification, the process of pure butter.
Yes. Actually,
higher
the process.
Quality.
Yes, the quality of the raw material is better now.
Right.
And we have even taken some pictures to put it on the internet and say this is liquid gold, because it used to be shea butter oil with a lot of dirt in it.
Okay, right.
Because they didn't care about the quality. They just needed to sell and have any money. But we have talked with them, and now the quality is very perfect. The shea butter is very pure and very like yellow, like gold, with no dirt. And we buy it at the fair price. We bring it to the capital and we transform it. But we don't transform it like industrial way. We let it like organic. We just add some scents, natural organic scents coming from other parts of Africa to fight the smell, and we package it and we send it to the other woman who is in Europe and who needed an activity.
The one from the forced marriage.
Yes,
the one from the forced marriage. And just so in the ladies who are help package that and put the scents together, these are all young girls. I mean, from
these are all girls who have faced prostitution,
they've escaped prostitution,
and forced marriages. Most of the time, they are from abused marriage.
Yeah, so 16 and up is what I see here.
Yes.
And so you really are not only doing a good job in business, but you're providing such opportunity for these girls.
I'm trying.
Yeah. God bless you for that.
I'm trying.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You guys, I know that we're excited to have you on the show today, and we got a couple more minutes. I got one question I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. You won your country's best cultural product for West Africa, and that was awarded by the U.S. Embassy.
Yes, it was my first award.
Yeah, I want to know what that product was. What was it?
It was the jewels. We have three important words in my fashion company. We are inclusive because we don't do fashion just for one category. We do for every shape, all colors.
Right.
All races.
And in this region of the world.
All genders.
In this region of the world, West African women do wear very embellished clothing.
Yeah.
It's culturally different than other places.
So
and you must be a top provider of that.
I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
I'm trying. So because we are very inclusive and in even in the materials, in the stones we use on the jewels, we use stones from different countries in Africa and in the world. So it's like you have to, when you have that jewel or that clothes, you can say that you are traveling around the world. Like you have many countries participating in the art you are wearing.
Right.
That's why I get this award, because I wasn't doing clothes at that time when I get that award. It was my first award. And I have done 3 jewels. One representative of West Africa colors, and one representative of different stone we can find in Central Africa, except diamond, because it was too expensive.
Right.
And one was kind of a union between the northern and south, and the soft, like some stones from Africa and some stones from Canada and US.
Wow.
So all of the jewels were very like link between everybody.
Hey, so TC, we all have to buy our wife something, right? And I know a lot of our listeners are, the ladies out there are going, man, where do I get this stuff? They're wanting to know. I have one other thing I want to finish the show out with. So to sponsor a girl who needs this, because in case our listeners don't understand, they'll come here, they learn this craft, they get the tools to do this.
Yes.
Then they can go back to their village, their city,
and become an entrepreneur.
Like, and they're not just learning the skill, you're teaching them finance, business.
Exactly. Networking. And how to manage a shop.
Yeah, you're teaching them all that stuff. You're changing not only their life, but the future of their children.
Yes, exactly.
And it's exciting. And I know that even some men get mad. They're like, no, you know. But Robbie, man, we miss you, because we're stumbling. I know we stumbled through this show, but we appreciate Sarah sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
And we appreciate your heart.
Well, as we wrap up today, let's be sure and pray for Mark, TC, Allen, and Wren, as well as their new partners like Sarah that we met today. And as always, if God puts it on your heart to give or to link up with them to do or host one of the rescue events, you know, go to lanternrescue.org.
This is the Truth Network.